Reading from the Bhagavatamrita, Book 2, Chapter 1, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Param Gopyam Api Snigyam Sri Krishna Karanasara Patra Nirdara Satkatam Shrutva Bhut Paramanandam Purnatava Pitamahi. After your grandmother heard the sacred narration about the search for the person most favored by the essence of Lord Krishna's mercy, she was filled with the highest bliss. Om Gyanatimilam Dasya Gyanam Jana Salakaya Taksuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vairagya yud bhakti vrtam payatnai apayam mamana bipsamandam kripam buriya paraduka duki sanatanastam prabhamasriyami pancha kalpa tilubhyascha kripa sindhu vai vicha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I returned this morning from Govardhan, and I'm now staying again in Giriraj Swami's house, and I began my Bhagavatam, my lectures every evening. And doing that, I realized how much I miss that. I love giving the Sangit, but I also like the sweetness of Vrindavan, the various different people that come. And as usual, I don't advertise. I just have one person that wants to hear, and you know, I just come outside. There's quite a few people there already. I usually come a little bit earlier, but Giriraj Swami was here. He went to Varsana for the Japa retreat, and it really, really looks like, I saw the schedule, it looks absolutely wonderful. Every day a verse of the Shikshastakam will be discussed by Satchinandana Swami, Giriraj Swami, and Burajan Prabhu. And then at Ter Kadamba, which is the most beautiful place in Vrindavan, and gets increasingly more beautiful. It's right between Jawit, where Radharani went to live with her in-laws, and Nandagram. And a place of so many pastimes, but devotion means beauty, and there's a very devoted soul there, and every year it's spectacularly increased. And this year he made a prikram path around the second pond, and it's just sublime. I just went there a few times, and absolutely, absolutely sublime. So, whoops. Okay, so this is Jaimini speaking. It's the guru of Jamanajaya, who is the son of Maharaj Prickett. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was spoken to him. Upon his request to hear a commentary on a version of the Mahabharata that Jaimini Rishi gave him that was a little bit more intimate and deep. As we know, a message can be reshaped according to the frame of reference of the audience. So even when you speak Bhagavatam on the same verse, there can be much more, there can be much more depth, or it can be much more general according to the frame of reference of the audience. So there's several versions of the Mahabharata. And Janamejaya wanted to hear a commentary on the Mahabharata, just like the Harivamsa is a commentary on the Mahabharata that's presently available. So the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a commentary on the second Mahabharata, which reveals really a little bit more directly Krishna. Krishna's in the Mahabharata, but not his intimate side is revealed. So in that regard, Jaimini Rishi told a story of Maharaj Prickett summarizing the Bhagavatam, the sar, the creme de la creme, the essence of the essence, because his mother wanted to hear it. So it was the last day of his life, so he had to really, and we know, when you're really sharp, when you're really on, you can explain a lot in a short time. There's something that someone turned me on to called TED Talk. Technology, education, and design, but it's just talks. And I saw one person give a talk in vegetarianism. I think he had 8 minutes. It was the most brilliant talk I've ever heard. You really can say a lot in a short time if you understand the subject deeply. The more realized you become, the more effective you are at communicating a message. I've spoken about this many, many times. So that story was Narada Muni searching for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy, which wound up with a description of the gopis whom Krishna reveals himself more to because of the intimacy and power of their love. So after hearing that, Janamejaya naturally wanted to understand what else did his father teach his grandmother, Uttara, because that's what the story was. And he was excited because the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was revealed by Maharaj Prickett Premna with such love. Love is a revelatory force, and love expresses things that are confidential, hardly ever heard. So this was a very essence of the Shastra. So it's something special, and I hope we've experienced that ourselves in listening to that. And he expresses as a student I was speaking today in my class that a teacher can only speak according to the faith of the audience. When the audience has faith, it's a connection with the teacher that draws out, gives the teacher a certain confidence to explain. If the teacher doesn't have, if the audience doesn't have faith, the teacher just goes on and on trying to catch the frame of reference without really getting to any points. But he knows the audience has faith, he can just speak very spontaneously. I've experienced it. My Seva is speaking. I had that experience. I was in Govardhan, and one ISKCON devotee that I know asked me if I could speak at this Bhagavatam reciter's function. And that actually what happened is I was coming and I met this Bhagavatam reciter, and he looked at me, he smiled, he hugged me. He's been lecturing since he's 4 years old off the Vyasasad. He comes from the topmost lineage of Gaudiya Vaishnava speak. He's only a young guy in his, you know, early, and he's not very old. So he hugged me and he said, "Can you come?" And then I found out Satchinandana Swami was coming and Radhanath Swami was coming. He says, "Can you come and, you know, and say something?" I said, "Okay, I'll come." But then Satchinandana Swami was really ill, and Radhanath Swami lost his voice after speaking 5 hours a day, so I went. And, you know, they told me, I said, "What about a translator?" Because they specifically wanted me to speak in English, and it was televised. And they said, "No, 80% of the audience understands English." And then I'm sitting there, and there's a person speaking before me, some famous sadhu. And then the Bhagavatam reciter, I don't think it's anything malicious or something, I just think he's young and maybe he doesn't know. He says, "You know, there's not much time, can only speak 15 minutes. I was told initially, you know, 30 minutes. So I had my plan what I would say in that amount. Then he said, you know, went on, and then he said, "If you can just speak for 10 minutes. You know, because it was television, it was getting late and things." I said, "Okay." And then I began to speak, and then there was a lot of activity off this high Vyasasad. People giving gifts and giving directions. You know, and I mean, I spoke and I said interesting things, but it didn't have that flow, that continuity that I generally feel when I'm speaking. It's not, when I speak, it's not like, it's not mental. Something flows, you know, it's kind of, if you have it. And I felt it was like such a struggle. And when then after I spoke, I already told them that I had another speaking engagement someplace. It's, you know, Govardhan is filled with activities. But when I left, I was a bit upset because as people know me, you know, speaking is my art, my offering. And I have some scars. Somehow, if it's not according to my satisfaction, I become very upset. I become disturbed in mind. I can't do anything about it. I may be mindful and just observe it, but it's there. I was sad also because I felt, wait a second, because I couldn't speak to my level. And I said, wait a second, the audience is not really speaking English, so that means they're not really interested in hearing me speak. Why, unless they would have, you know, I there was a translator that could have spoken. You know, I knew some people there, and they're talking off the Vyasasan. They give me 10. They don't really want. But it was, and I relayed the message because that's the way I am to the appropriate people. But, you know, the faith wasn't there. They're coming to hear him. If he's not interested in hearing me speak and they don't provide a translator, there's not faith. There's not respect. You just can't speak unless that's there. So it's incumbent on the student to indicate his interest. So Maharaj Pickett says, I cannot get enough, because it's Srimad, it's full of beauty. And it's Vasitam. It's scented by Mukha Ambuja, by the lotus mouth. By your lotus mouth, it's scented. And what does that analogy mean, that it's scented? It means it's made more sweet, made more attractive by a person's conviction. And your Vidvan, tell us what else you know. And this Jaimini Rishi says, to understand this is impossible. Even Brahma Anubhavanam, those who directly experience reality, they can't understand this. Because there's different levels of experience of reality. And there's an experience of reality, but when there is love of reality, then there's a reciprocation from reality, and that's Krishna. So it's impossible by Gyan, by your own powers. It needs mercy, and mercy only comes in relationship to love. Mercy is a relationship. Mercy is love. Mercy is love coming down. So unless there is love going up, well, to the extent that love goes up, in one sense, love is going to come down. There has to be some relationship. Effort alone will get you to a certain level. Love will get you to another level. So it's impossible, but Jaimini Rishi explains that it is possible by mercy. And I sat next to Sukadeva Goswami and I was empowered. Somehow I was empowered. I was given the knowledge. And that's the only way you can get that knowledge. By your power, you can be a scholar by your power, but it's limited in the depth of realization, unless you enter into a relationship with your teacher. And therefore, Jaimini explains that this Priyad Bhagavatamrita has potency to engage one, to capture one, because I was given some mercy. And that mercy is the realization that enables one to make something interesting, as Prabhupada said. That's realization. When you realize, you can speak in a way to capture the audience. And it also means that it is authorized because it is coming in Guru Parampara. And then he tells him, I am willing to speak this to you because you are Snigdha, you're affectionate, you're loyal, you're faithful. And wherever you'll go in the scriptures, you'll see that this is the qualification to understand spiritual knowledge. You have to have faith. You have to be willing to be molded by the truth. If you're not willing to be molded by the truth, you won't get the truth. So Jaimini continues, after your grandmother heard this sacred narration, and now he's going to explain. I'm going to explain to you. So he says, after your grandmother heard the sacred narration about Karuna Sara Patra, of the receptacle, of the recipient of Karuna Sar, who is the recipient of the essence of mercy, the cream of mercy? Who is the about this narration about the search for this person who is most favored by Krishna? After your grandmother heard that, she was in the highest bliss. Because when you hear about love, and you hear about love, pure devotion, and deeper levels of pure devotion, your heart is touched more and more and more. It's the highest bliss. When you have devotion, the highest bliss is hearing about the object of your love and love for the object of your love. So, 2189. Tadrig Bhakti Visheshasya Gopi Kanta Padab Jayo Sotum Falavishesham Tad Bogastanam Tisattamam Vaikuntarapi Manvana Vishram Shanti Vidishrayam Tachtanakalayantisha Tapacha Sri Parikshitam. I was thinking also when it discusses that about this Priya Bhagavatamrita that it's rare, that it's confidential. I told you many times about Dr. Fakir Mohan. And we just interviewed him for our Govardhan film. Well, really, I really feel this film is blessed because everything that we wanted so far has come easy, and everybody, we've got interviews from Ramesh Baba, Anantadas Babaji, Sachinandana Swami, Naradnath Swami's agreed, so many people that we wanted to get interviewed. But this Vasudev, the filmmaker, who's a very good friend of mine, he's so dedicated because he takes it as his service. So he'll work 14 hours a day, because it's his service. And he's retired, and he can put his full energy into it. So he said, we have to get some Neil Gaia for our film. Now, Neil Gaia are the famous blue cows of Vrindavan, and they're one of the favorite animals of Braj. They used to be herds near the Krishna Balaram temple that I used to go see, but you know, urbanization is you don't see them anymore. See, I said to him, look, if you go to Puncheri and you go to the other side, halfway to Jatipur, sometimes you see them there. And you can think yourself, you went to Govardhan Hill, how many times you see them. But he's such a dedicated filmmaker that he goes to find them. Right? I mean, it's unheard of. You know, it's like a turtle coming up in the ocean and his head goes through a piece of wood where there's a hole in it. I mean, and then at a particular time, Vasudev in his French accent, you know, says something like that, Krishna, you know, why are you not showing me? I want to see Neil Gaia. And then at that moment, the assistant points, look. And then this morning he showed me, no one has ever seen a film of this. And then as it describes, this, there's a herd of Neil Gaia, and this one Neil Gaia takes a what they call like a catwalk, like the models, just prances just gracefully right on the top of the hill. And then he wanted another interview with Ramesh Baba, so he saw his chief disciple and said, well, Ramesh Baba is actually too ill. He had open heart surgery. But he said, if you come to our camp, it's 10,000 people going on a Braj Mandal Prakram. He said, you can meet and hear the next Acharya. Now that he's not there, someone else. It's a 17-year-old girl that he's been training in Bhagavatam since she's 5. And if you know, I know, I met the parents, and you know where these people live. Somehow or other, by Garhavan Forest on Barsana, it must be the most isolated place in the world or something. You know, it doesn't seem you can get there anyway but by going on, you know, like a Barsana Parikram. And it seems like it must have stayed the same way it stayed for thousands of years. And because that Ramesh Baba is there in that area just giving katha every night, you know, there's just amazing people that just have the karma to have dedicated their life to Krishna and Radharani fully with no distraction. Hey, what can we do? You know, we're not that level yet that we had that type of karma, but somehow they're very elevated. So he said, you know, the girl, she was beautiful and like a gopi and very sober and was explaining the pastime at that particular place, you know, and singing on the Casio, like Ramesh Baba does as a Casio doing the bhajans. And hopefully what this film will do will kind of just show you the kind of doors to the spiritual world that can open up on Govardhan Hill. The kind of sadhus, the kind of things that happen there. If you live by the side of Govardhan Hill for a while, a lot of amazing things happen all the time. I've been taking people around all this month. I've explained to people that it hasn't been my normal Kartik. So many people coming. Even people from my Bhakti seminar in New York, the third person so far in the last 2 months. Take them around Govardhan Hill. Call me up. I'm seeing the Taj Mahal. And just amazing. I go to this little ashram by Govinda Kund. When I visit this one sadhu who's been living there for 60 years. Can't imagine what it was like 60 years ago. And such a simple person. Such a simple person, no sense of defending. It's just beautiful. So, Jaimini Rishi continues. And he's explaining about your grandmother. Uttara, who heard from your father about this sacred narration, about the search for the person most favored by Krishna, the essence of Krishna's mercy, the Karuna Sar, the Patra, she's the recipient of the Karuna Sar, of the essence of Krishna's mercy. She heard about that. About the gopis. And then he explains further, and this leads into the second part, that this exceptional devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord, this exceptional devotion, visheshasya bhakti, to Krishna, Gopikanta, to the lover of the gopis, to the abjayo, to the lotus feet of the lover of the gopis, this bhakti visheshasya, this exceptional devotion, it has a phal vishesham. It has a special fruit. So there's a result of this exceptional devotion. And it has a special fruit. And Uttara was eager to hear about that special fruit. He was eager to hear about that special fruit, but not only the special fruit she wanted to hear about, she not only about the special fruit, but she wanted to hear about the place where it is enjoyed. Is that special? Because the special fruit is a special type of devotion, which cannot be separated from the place which facilitates that experience, which he thought it has to be higher than Vaikuntha because it's a more deep and expressive love. And wondering within our heart about these topics, unable to conclude anything on her own, unable to conclude anything on our own, she inquired for Marge Prickett, because Marge Prickett, her son, is taking the role as her teacher. So she couldn't figure it out. She had some of the components, but she couldn't figure it out. So the second half of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is Maharaj Prickett going to, as he delineated what was the Karunasak Patra, the recipient for the topmost mercy, now he's going to delineate the place that facilitates that. And he's going to do it in the same way. To help one understand it, he's going to explain the various destinations for various expressions of love for Krishna progressively, so that you can understand, you understand something is the highest when you understand the ladder that goes there. And therefore she's inquiring, and with faith. With faith, so she's willing to hear. Srimad Uttara Vocha Kamanam Punya Kartrinam Trilokyam Grihanam Padam Agrihanam Titasyodvam Stitam Loka Chatushtayam. One second, I'm having little problems with my iPad, which is where I'm not working. Okay. Srimati Uttara said, by performing auspicious duties, householders with material desires can achieve the three celestial worlds, and persons who have renounced their homes can reach the four worlds still behind these. Commentary, Uttara has some doubts about the identity of the personal abode of Sri Gopinath, because that's the highest mercy. The highest mercy is the revelation of God as Krishna, his full beauty. So she doesn't know yet what is that place. But she does understand that the devotees whose love is focused on Gopinath's lotus feet deserve to be elevated to the most excellent destination, a place better than all others. So she doesn't know the place, but she knows that those who have this high love must have a better place. That the place is only what? The place is in relationship to love. Any place is relationship to love. According to the love you have, you create a place. Family, you create a place. Romance, you create a place. Respect, you create a place. And the place is a product of the love. The higher the love, the higher the place. That's why Govardhan is the highest place. That's why Radhakund on Govardhan is the highest place. It's the highest love. It's the highest place. And the sweetness and beauty increases. So she understood, I don't know what the place is, but it's got to be a better place. To express this understanding to her son and properly establish the context for her inquiry, she speaks 11 verses, 10 through 20, describing the various destinations of different grades of progressive souls. So she's so intelligent, she wants to create the context of the inquiry. And she wants to know about the highest place. She's going to give the context by showing that according to one's elevation, there's a higher place. So she starts by mentioning the destination of householders who have desires but perform but do auspicious duties, what they achieve. And then in Vanashram, people who have progressed to become renounced from those desires, what they achieve. So one achieves the three celestial worlds, and one reaches the four worlds beyond that. And the three celestial worlds are Bhur, Bhuva, Swa. The material, and then beyond that is Maha Loka, Brahma Loka, Tapas, you know, it's a higher realm. And generally, in that type of path, the path of Jnana, the destination is commensurate with the level of detachment you have. And to go higher and higher, you have to give up more and more. And there's even a path where you can give up and become progressively detached and proceed to higher and higher destinations, and you're stuck at that destination until you give up the next thing. And that's described in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. So now she's establishing the context of her inquiry. You see, people get different abodes and higher abodes according to the level of their renunciation. First, she mentions the destination of persons involved in material work, who are divided in two categories, the attached and unattached. I guess that's the householder who's attached in this path. This is the path of Gan. You give up the activities as you become detached from them. So in this path, your renunciation indicates your elevation. And according to your elevation, you achieve a particular place. So it's describing these two. Auspicious duties are those prescribed by the Vedas. They include, because it said the householders perform auspicious duties, well, what are they? Their nitya karma and naimittika karma and kamya karma. So the first auspicious duty is nitya karma. It's the duties you do every day. Your morning bath, your Gayatri mantras, nitya karma. And then naimittika karma means your occasional duties. You know, so there's things you do maybe on the full moon or at the time of a marriage or, you know, a marriage. So there's occasional duties. And then there's kamya karma. And then there are things that you do when you have a particular desire. I want a wife, you know, more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. I want, you know, learning greater than goddess Saraswati. I want wealth greater. And then you perform, you know, super, super high-end karmakanda activities. So you said these are auspicious duties because they're elevating. They're elevating. And the performers of these activities are generally married people with many desires. And the destination for such people who are enjoyers but regulate the fruits of their work, it's within the three planetary systems of Bhur, Bhuva, Sva. And I'm summarizing the purport. It's very nice. And these karmis, they're not ordinary modern materialists. Because they satisfy their duties through the regulations of the Vedas. So they're auspicious. Because even though their desires are being satisfied, because they're doing it in a religious way, they are being purified of those desires and elevating their consciousness and elevating their ultimate destination. So that's one, that's the attached. And the unattached, it says by virtue of strict celibacy, the brahmacharis, the vanaprasas, and sannyas, they can reach the four worlds. Maha, Janas, Tapas, and Satya. And then there's a quote from the Bhagavatam. This is described, the spiritual world, which consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world and is specially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and do not strictly follow celibacy must live within the three worlds. Until you become detached, either by Gyan or by Bhakti, until you become detached, then you have to stay in the world. That's all, one way or another. So eventually, the desire for sex life has to be renounced, certainly on the path of Gyan. has to be renounced eventually, gradually. But householders who become free from material desires and are just attached to doing their duties, not the fruits, they also can attain the four higher planets. So anyway, she's just putting things in context. Can't turn the page on my iPod, which has the book. Oops. Wow. Getting lost here. Okay, we're going to end here today because I can't work the machine. Anybody have any questions? Someone say hello so I know that there was actually someone there I was talking to.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, you always are the savior.
Hare Krishna, Baba.
There you go. Anybody else like to say hello, ask a question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, can you please explain that in Namittik Karma, the three karmas that you explained?
There's nitya karma. Nitya means every day, right?
Yes.
So there's things that you do every day, duties, morning bath, Gayatris, you know. Then there's naimittika karma. That's temporary.
Okay.
Right? That means occasional. Right, you may perform a pinda ceremony for the ancestors or a first birth ceremony. They're not something that's done regularly, right? So those are the two type of duties that Virashas have. And then I think it was called kama karma, is then people perform particular duties to achieve particular material ends, specifically. So he said that the point was they're all auspicious because you're not just selfishly fulfilling the senses or fulfilling them in an unrestricted way, but you're regulating your activities. So they're purifying. So they're auspicious because they're leading you towards the goal, even though you're fulfilling your desires. But that type of destination will not be as, on the Gyana Marg, will not be as elevated as one is renounced with his activities. Okay?
Thank you, Mara.
Anybody else like to say hello? Or ask a question?
Hare Krishna, Mara.
Henry, Hare Krishna. Nice to hear from you. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please send me a prayer.
Oh, from Seattle. Very nice to hear from you. Great.
I'm actually in Portland.
What's that?
I am actually in Portland, Oregon.
Have you moved there?
Yes, I did a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, you mentioning with the natural health and that thing. Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope things are working out as well as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your blessings.
Thank you.
Hello.
Anybody else like to say hello? I think I heard the mixed voices of Stella and Indrani. I don't know if that is right.
You're right.
Hare Krishna, and we'll see you next month, right?
Late December. Yes.
Okay, great. I'm planning to be here when you all come. Yeah, okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Devi and Hillary.
Wow, that's great. Oh, wonderful.
And Mother Venturi also.
Oh, wow, great. Actually, I remember he sent me a letter, and I just read it today, and I wondered if I answered it, and I thought I should again, so I probably will. But great to hear all of you. And I don't know if you got my message that I got your letter, Sue Davy.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
From one of your friends. Great to hear from all the people from Radhadesh. And your Ananda was here today. Listening to class. She does that nice. She likes to hear. That's good. Okay. Great. Well, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else? Thank you. Wow. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Well, I'm kind of happy to be back in Vrindavan. I have to say that, too. I love Govardhan. I'll go back in a few days for the Govardhan retreat. I'll be in the area. But it's nice. My place in Vrindavan is really, it's just the ideal place. You can't get better than here. And just so nice dealing with all the devotees and the classes and people coming and seeing old sadhu friends that I've known for years, and great souls. You just meet so many great souls. Met a few older sadhus that I know for years, and going to the kirtan. And okay, well, thank you all. Manchakopa Tribhyasya Kripasindu Bhyabhyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. Hari, 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 hari.